Down to brass tacks, you know, we've been talking about childhood obesity in the first hour. So, this person is concerned about the development at Lancaster in St. James. You know that the Ministry of Housing has had a land fair or something like that over the weekend. But the writer says that they hope that provision is made for a green space for the new the people who are moving into that area at Greenwich Village in St. James. It says that they have been looking for a playground for the children in the area for years. And now that the government is bringing more people to that particular vicinity, they are really hopeful that some provision will be made for a playground. Now, having said that, I must tell you that I see a lot of playgrounds in Barbados that are empty. Quite a lot of them. No real activity takes place. And this is part of how the society has changed. A lot of the children today are on the inside playing with video games and computers and all of that. And there's less physical activity out there. Another matter, of course, would have to be that in some communities, people are afraid to let their children out because they themselves are afraid to even walk the streets. I saw a piece in the newspaper yesterday where people in one of the Christchurch communities were saying exactly that. They said the number of shooting incidents that they have had in the neighborhood, many of them are not reported, you know. And there is that real development of a sense of fear in some communities as well. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Are you hearing me, David?
It's 11:30. I'm hearing you.
Good. I just want to, as I had said earlier, I want to speak on another matter, but I just want to update Barbadians on the, and I'll be brief, the whole history of what is happening in Guyana. Guyana has had two barbaric murders, and the whole country is up in arms.
It has had more than two, though, in recent days. It began with the two black boys, and then...
I'm speaking about two barbaric murders. I'm not talking about other persons who were murdered, but...
No, and I'm saying that there were two murders, and there were also reprisal murders.
That has not
well.
Been confirmed, Mr. Ellis.
Okay, well, you're the reporter. Go along.
I'm not the reporter. I'm just someone doing research and coming with the information.
Well, you read and I read too.
If you look in Starbrook News today, I can bring it up for you if you want. Starbrook News tells you, and they're known to be friendly to the PPP. And Starbrook News said today that amid the unrest that followed, another teen, their friend, meaning the two boys of Afro-Guyanese, their friend Harish Singh, was killed, and another man was beaten, and they stated that, I'm looking for the exact, where they stated that those killings were, he was friend with the others, and it was suggested that it could be because he knew something about the death of the two boys, not because he was involved, but he knew something. But anyway, I just want to say to Barbadians and to Guyanese living here, I really think you all should not be sitting back and be comfortable. You all should be doing some protests at the U.S. Embassy and at the Prime Minister's, outside the Prime Minister's office, etc., to demand that CARICOM and the American embassies who got involved in the election are asking and demanding, actually, for a particular result, which the people said was going to result in the what we're seeing now, the uprising. Many black Guyanese being sent home, many black Guyanese being targeted. This is not, the two guys were killed with X's on their face. X's, they sent a message letting them know this is a result of vote. Their throats were slit, spine was severed. That's when I said to you it's barbaric. The other guy they found his motorbike and he had apparently a piece of wood, it seemed like somebody hit him against his head. It's not the same thing. And persons, even I listened to someone protesting in Linden and all through Guyana, and they're asking, where is CARICOM? We warned you. We told you this was going
to
happen.
Ma'am, in all fairness, though, and you know you would love to control the dialogue and the narrative, but let me just say this to you. If you're going to say that, you have to take into consideration the role that the courts played in what happened in Guyana. So you're going to protest again before the courts as well, both in Guyana and at the CCJ level. So you've only identified some select groups that you want to identify, but there, you know, the courts played a pivotal role in what happened in Guyana.
The court played a pivotal role after Ms. Motley and Mr. Gonzalez got involved asking for a recount, which had never happened before in Guyana. I am not going to go down this whole thing with a long discussion in this. I know what I'm saying.
You see, you don't want a long discussion because you want to come here and assert your position, and nobody is supposed to say anything to the contrary. I'm not party to that.
David Ellis, nobody like who? I am trying to be civil. And I find within recent time, you and I, my discussions with you, you raise your voice, you go down a very disrespectful kind of way.
I'm disrespectful?
I try to be very civil.
I'm pointing out.
I don't see you having this discussion with Statsman and all the others who come up with nonsense. And I would just ask, I am listening to you. I will always listen to the moderator, and then I will state my view. Of course, what happens is they take the conversation, and before you finish the end, I'm going to leave that there. That's a Guyanese to decide.
All I can say on that is, look, like everything else, you have your perspective on these issues. I also want to make sure that it is not projected in any one-sided manner. As long as I know there are other facts that need to be taken into consideration. I'm not here to stop you from articulating your view, but at the same time, your view sometimes is not the only view out there.
Well, that's understood, but all I am saying is the same way Ms. Motley felt, and I could read a direct quote when she said she was concerned about Guyanese being frustrated, etc., and CARICOM needed to intervene. I am saying the same way she should be making a public statement about what is going on in Guyana. Guyana is in uproar, and Afro-Guyanese are feeling the brunt of what is happening with this new government. CARICOM and Ms. Motley having been the person who intervened to ask for recount, which had never happened with CARICOM, she needs to make a statement and condemn what is going on, as well as Mr. Ralph Gonzalez. Now, on my second point, I want to commend callers, Barbadians, who have been calling last week concerning this point I've been hearing Ms. Motley make about 80,000 persons more for this little Barbados, 166 square miles. I'll be brief and just say this. You know, don't look for Ms. Motley to bring in 40,000 or 10,000 persons. If you're waiting for that, you're in a dream. What she's going to do, how she's going to go about it, is going to try to change the immigration laws. And once she does that, she opens the door so persons can come in freely. She says already they have to make it more liberal. So what she's saying is the restrictions that were that are in place now with immigration law, she's going to loosen that so persons could come in freely and have citizenship freely. I already last year started to point out to you what Edmund Hinkson, who was then minister responsible for immigration, what they wanted to do. I am saying to Barbadians, you started speaking out because we all know this is a nonsense argument. At a time like this, which responsible leader is going to be talking about increasing population?
You have had, you know, in all fairness, you are very consistent in your position as it relates to people coming into this country, and especially if those people are not black. You are consistent in that regard.
However, I don't think so at all. But
as far as I'm concerned, because yes, I remember that you were in the vanguard of the anti-Guyanese crusade that took place in this country years ago.
Said you. That wasn't my position. My position was the rule of law, but you go ahead.
You were the rule of law.
Yeah, you like to put
my recollection suggests. My recollection suggests that once you are faced with a situation such as this, it would not be a surprise to hear you come and actually start to whip up a frenzy on the question of the movement of people. Because
that's your simplistic view.
Because you seek to drive fear into the hearts of the majority of the people of Barbados when it comes to this issue.
That's the idea you want to push out there to people.
No,
that's the idea. soon, you know, for a journalist of 45 years, somebody raise a substantive issue. The first thing when I raise it, you're going to hear you say, you know, you don't like, you anti-persons coming in. Instead of you dealing with the substance of what I'm saying.
So I want to get there.
45 years.
I want to
the
get.
The first thing you want to do is to create a narrative.
No, but you.
She don't like Guyanese. Oh, she don't like Jamaican. When I am speaking on issues, not about anti-anybody, but you don't want to go to that. It is easy
you
to create
it. But listen.
And you're telling me about creating hysteria.
Ma'am,
you create
just take it easy. At the end of the day, I have my own perception of the kind of dialogue that we have had over time, over the years and stuff like that. So I am left with the impression that I've just given you. The substantive issue is, what is happening within Barbados in terms of the growth of its population and the need for skills, and whether we are going to be able to survive on just being reliant on the people who were born here and currently live here. That is the real issue. Not whether we're going to whip up a frenzy about the general concept of people coming to live and work in Barbados.
But who is whipping up a frenzy? Think about it, listeners. Who is whipping up a frenzy? I am talking about the policy Miss Motley wants to institute, and you're telling me about whipping up a frenzy. But some listeners are not stupid. Some listeners can discern for themselves. All I am saying is you do not make policy on the hop. Miss Motley has to sit down and speak with the citizens who put her there. She's not lord of in charge of all that she surveys. She is responsible to the citizen. You have to determine the part you want to chart, and you speak to us. We are a small country with limited land space, limited natural resources, and if you want to bring...
And limited population.
Population.
And limited population.
Why don't you first go and say, let us put measures in place that Barbadians will find it easier to increase the population. And at the same time, while we're doing that, we're looking for 5,000 in this area, 6,000 in this area, and explain to us how, in the short term, that is going to affect us. Because you understand, so you know the Democratic Labour Party had a slogan, Barbados is more than an economy, it's a society. A society is formed. You just don't bring people and dump them in and expect them to.
But you see, but
to increase together,
ma'am, you really
for people to live together.
You really getting carried away with your language.
Look at UK.
Just bringing people
look
and, ma'am,
look at
ma'am,
Germany.
May I, in all fairness, I'm not here to defend the government and its position.
Really?
The government has to defend itself. But at the same time. I can't let you get away with saying that the government is basically bringing people and dumping them here. What does that mean?
It means that the government
what
is
the basis upon which
society.
What's the basis upon which you are saying that people are being dumped into Barbados? Like who?
When you liberalize your immigration policy, you have
it depends
no,
upon how
you have no determination. You can't liberalize your immigration policy to discriminate against this person, against maids, and then against this person XY.
But seriously, have you in all fairness, ma'am, you speak as though you've seen whatever policy the Prime Minister has in mind. You are speculating on it and then speaking about it with a degree of conviction. You don't know for sure exactly what is being what are the elements of this liberalization?
David Ellis, I had this conversation with you early this year.
But you said this is what the government proposes to do.
I identified what Minister Hinkson said. So don't come with that. I have all my clippings when he talks about immigration a must, September 18, 2018. All the other clippings I can go through. And I spoke to you also about Professor Theodore, who talked about Barbados facing health and economic crisis and saying our health sector is in crisis and we cannot have free medical provision anymore because we are at the hill ready to go down. And I'm saying all this has to be...
One professor said that. Anybody else corroborate that? That we are on a precipice when it comes to healthcare in Barbados?
But he is the man skilled in this field. Professor Carl Tudor is director of HEU, the Center for Health Economics.
Barbados is. Is there anybody? Anybody else has been able to corroborate that?
If you
we are on the, we are on a health precipice. This country has already has done so well in dealing with the COVID-19 situation and stuff.
David Ellis, I feel
and you
for
come
you.
Telling us, but one could weep on a precipice.
David
well, feel
I
for me as much as you like.
You,
you know, I want to say something to you at the end of the day. I am a Barbadian. I have my country's interests at heart. I love this country. I'm not here to tear it down. There are some issues. There are some issues that we have to tackle. And we have to. Well, sometimes when I listen to you, it sounds as though that's what you're doing.
You see, because you come with a prejudiced view. You have on blinders.
Well, no, you don't have on any.
No, because soon as I.
You have on none.
Listen to me. I speak about immigration with the DLP, with the FDP.
Yes, that, but I told you so. You're consistent.
Because I am.
You whip up a frenzy about immigration all the time.
When you talk about pulling down. I am saying to any government who come in, you have to do this in a managed way. That is the point I am making. I am not saying
yes, but nobody
cannot come in. You have to do it in a managed way, and you cannot change immigration laws, which will change our society, without first coming to the people. I had a third point. I'm not going to discuss it because I don't want you to tell me what WhatsApp callers have been saying. This is how VOB is at this time. You have a great day.
All right, ma'am. Thanks for calling. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Welcome.
This brass tacks program is a very interesting one. Actually, it's one I've been listening for years, two, 4 years. Now, I have discovered that, you know, Bajans are very political. And, you know, your callers either like the B or the D, and you have very few callers who are different. Even I have a preference for a party as well. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I find that, you know, you would find our topics will arise, and those people, regardless to what they are, if they like the BLP, and it's a BL person who says it, you know, they deal, it's favorable to them. Same thing happens if it's the other party. I mean, you know, and that is what makes it a little bit difficult sometimes. Actually, I believe it has made me an analyst. I have analyzed a few things there. Like, for instance, I see recently, and just a few years ago, everybody in Barbados were talking about garbage trucks. They were discussing buses. Okay. As soon as the garbage trucks and the buses come in, they have a different topic. They're saying they're too expensive. Some seem to think they're too expensive. Some seem to think they're rough on the roads. You know, the same thing with the garbage trucks. Now, the garbage trucks are really doing a good job. So now they think they want to know the price of the garbage trucks. We don't want them anymore. We want a price. Only last week, I heard a caller, he spoke about the bus is going to St. Joseph and to Blackmans, and he himself took a ride there. And on going up, he found that the road was so rough. So Saturday, I'm normally a St. Joseph. I'm a St. Joseph person. I pass St. Joseph. I drive on a daily basis. I pass by Blackmans, and I saw a crowd of about 15 to 20 people standing. So I said, there must be a problem here. There must be a problem here. So when I got a little further up, I saw someone that I knew very well. I said, what's the problem there at the corner? Because I saw a minivan came up and stopped. And nobody jumped for it or anything. The guy said, oh, they're waiting for the new bus. So as I got a little further up, I saw the new bus came out of the road, And I said, oh, that's it. So it's just, I'm just bringing out the point. You know, although this is a very informative and good program, it can also be political, because if I know a guy who likes the BLP, you know, then he comes on, is merely, you know, presenting, he's having a favorable opinion of what that person is saying, and vice versa. And that is the funny thing about it. Even your last caller, she likes one party, which you would know very well. And everything they said before was great and good for the people to hear. Now she will have different views. And that is the thing. That's the reason. I think moderators should see that quickly and kind of correct. You know, I think the program, it would add something to the program if we could just halt some of that stupidness.
Try from time to time.
Yeah.
She did raise the question of the racial tension that exists in Guyana at the moment. Guyana's racial situation has been running for many years. And I don't know that you can attribute that now, what is happening now, simplistically to...
I'm not hearing you very well.
Thank you very much for your contribution.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, to what happened in the last election and that sort of thing. I've been of the view that, however that election ended, there was likely to be some kind of tension emerging in Guyana. And it doesn't surprise me. I don't think that if APNU had won that you weren't going to get some kind of response from the losers as well. So, you know, we have to watch it not only from that angle, but you also have to establish whether or not the administration in Georgetown is using its power and its position in a manner that is going to be disadvantageous to the black people of the country. And I think all of us outside of that country are watching and waiting to see what will happen. But we know one thing, and it is that both sides have the potential to inspire the kind of behavior and reaction that could make the situation more difficult for the people of the country. So I don't buy into this idea that because of this outcome, only this outcome could produce the kind of tension that exists right now. This is down to brass tacks. Welcome
Hello.
To the program. Yes.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you doing?
Fine.
I am calling. I want to take the conversation back, maybe a few callers, as it related to the issue with the road changes in Warrens.
Yes.
And then I want to make it into a broader issue of a need for our change in our political system. So I will have to must say that when I heard the statement, I too felt as though it was maybe out of step, because I thought one of the things the minister should do would be to back his technical team, because I would make the assumption that a decision like that would not come overnight. I would also make the, or I would think that
When you say back his technical team, that is to allow the status quo to remain?
Not necessarily to allow the status quo to remain. Well, two things on that. One, it ran for 2 days. Yes, traffic was horrible. I also don't know if enough was done, because you have other mitigating circumstances in that area with how the PSVs operate just outside the, just by the lay-by, which is not too far from the roundabout, which contributes to backup to traffic normally. So I think that might have needed to be sorted out. But outside of that, I would say your technical team would have to work on it. The statement that he was used was that it gets bumped up to the minister if it is to be disruptive to traffic. Now, disruptive to traffic would be a subjective term, because my technical team alerted to me how it's to work, and they might not in any way suggest that it would be disruptive to traffic. So therefore, the technical team gives me information, and I, as the PS, act on it. I know he said the PS did not know, but he did go on to say that it was somebody who was acting as PS. So therefore, the person who was in the position of PS would have been who would have signed off on it. So I'm saying that technically the system worked as it was supposed to work. The problem was that it ended up being problematic and therefore not politically maybe expedient for him to keep it as it was. But the system should not have automatically go up to him if, as far as the persons below felt, that it would not be disruptive.
Well, at the end of the day, you know what the problem was? Whatever the change was, it created a headache, a nightmare out there. It made it worse. And, you know, at the end of the whole process, you know, the minister takes the rap for whatever happens. He takes gets the credit or he gets the blame. So I think he was faced with that situation and felt that he had to act. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This person writes that they know the comments that were made this morning on banking in Barbados, and they really think it is time that we should have a segment dedicated to this issue of banking with representatives from the central bank and the commercial banks. They go on to say that banks in Barbados are poised to move from the Caris debit card system to the Visa MasterCard interchange system. Under the Caris system, merchants accepting debit cards are charged 50 cents per transaction, regardless of the amount of the debit being charged. Under the new system, says the writer, commercial banks have announced that such transactions will attract a 3% transaction charge. So a transaction for $200 that would have cost a merchant 50 cents will now cost $6. This is unacceptable and will only lead to higher prices, as merchants will have no choice but to pass on these increases to consumers, says the person who wrote this to us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm fair, and you?
I'm okay.
All right. Today I want to discuss the need for population growth, right? But I just want to add a little thing before I go on to that, to say that, and this is a response to the guy before the news, that I believe one can have a partisan political view and still make a point, even though you're making a point to represent your party you support, as long as the point is not a reasonable point. You can make a point, and it is for the moderator to challenge the point. If it is not a good point, challenge it or support it, whatever the case may be. But I don't think, as you guys were saying, if you belong to a party or if you support a party, you should not have a say. People will call and represent the parties. I see nothing wrong with it. Just let me focus on what is presented as opposed to the personality. Right. Now, the population growth. Mr. Edwards, from the time I was a little boy, the first time I heard about the size of the population of Barbados, it was 250,000 people. That's all I ever heard of growing up until recent times during the Alpha administration. I hear it went to 280 and probably beyond. So I'm trying to find out. We are saying that enough children are not being born. You're not having enough reproduction. And if people are not reproducing at the rate they used to, and yet people are dying, how comes the population remain steady? Because I would imagine people dying, people burning, and at an even rate, that would keep it steady. What is keeping it steady if there are no births or not enough births, and yet still it is still at 275? You could explain this phenomenon to me, because I can't understand it.
Well, I think I can't explain it in detail other than to say to you that you have to look at the percentage of this population that is elderly.
Right.
And when you look ahead, look towards the future, you're going to find that you have even more of those people. Because Barbados has, you know, sometimes your success could result in your failure as well. The success that we had in controlling population growth, because there was a time where women used to have a lot of children, 16 and 17 children and that sort of thing.
Right.
And, you know, there was a successful campaign in the country. I always remember the work that was done by Patrick Gallagher's father.
Yeah, I know with that agency down there,
Family Planning Association.
Family Planning, yes. Right.
Clyde Gollop and...
Right.
Clyde Gollop and people like that. But the other side of that is that we now have a sizable older population, and we don't have enough of the younger people available to us in the country to do the work that is required. No.
But two things about that, Mr. Ellis. Mm-hmm. I with all of this talk about communicable diseases and Barbados being the population of the world for heart and strokes and them kind of things and dying more. So it seems to me like the older folk dying too at a tremendous rate.
Well, a lot of them living too, huh?
And
I want to say to you that if there is one big problem that we face here, it is caring for the elderly. It is exceedingly costly. If you try to do that at the private level, there is not enough room at the public level. When you look at the demand, and you know the number of people who are actually suffering in this country because we don't have enough resources to address that problem. It's a mix of issues that you face, the NIS and things like that.
Right. Now you mentioned the NIS, because one of the issues that they mention is that you don't have enough, or not now, but in the future, you wouldn't have enough young people to work to support the older folk. Now, to me, it is not just a matter of how many people are working, but more to do with what is the size of the contribution that those who are working are making. Because you can have people with higher salaries, less people contributing more to the National Insurance Fund than when you had a lot of people. Because back in the 60s and 70s, people were carrying home sometimes like $100 a week. And that, the NIS was deducted from that. It was even less at the time. Now, people are working for much more. I mean, they were like more, but they're still working for much more today than they were then. So that you can get a much larger contribution to NIS now with fewer people than back then when you had a lot of people. So you may not necessarily need to increase the population. You may need to increase people's wages, because if you increase wages, you'll get more NIS. What do you think about that?
I think we've got to bear in mind that we're competing against the world, you know. We went through a process in the 1980s where we brought the international financial sector into Barbados. We brought people from Canada and other parts of the world to set up office here and provide jobs for Barbadians.
Right.
We have an opportunity to invite people here now with this Barbados stamp to work from here. I've seen a piece this morning from NBC in which four students from the United States have decided that they are also going to operate from here. They will do their studies online. So there is more of that we can take advantage of. But most of all, what we need is more skilled people to come into Barbados.
You see that, Mr. Ellis. What skill? Where's the skill?
Well, you need
Barbados are lacking.
Pardon?
What are the skill sets that Barbados is lacking?
Well, you're first of all looking for people who are involved in business skills, for instance, and technology skills, people who have access to capital and are able to mobilize their resources in such a way that they could work from here and pay the taxes that are required. You know, that international business sector, that international financial sector,
and the technology sector.
Those two, to my mind, matter. I think, for instance, that it would be useful to see if Barbados could benefit from all that is happening, let's say in China, in Hong Kong.
Right.
Because, you know, you want business people of, you know, of some wealth and some strength to help, you know, push this economy forward.
I agree with that section, with that, the idea of the business sector. But in terms of the technological skills, mm-hmm. then I have to ask the question, what was Barbados doing the last 20 years? Because, I mean, we have the University of West Indies who's been pushing out. We will see students train in different areas of technology. You had the Polytechnics was supposed to be doing some, and so on. What are becoming the skills that we were
pushing
out?
They need more than skills. They have the skills, but they don't have the other things that are required to take them there. You know,
a major part of that is
they don't have access to capital and all of that.
Right. So that's why I say I agree with the capital side.
Mm-hmm.
But the technological side, I've got a problem with that. Because if we were training people all along, then where are they? Are we going to displace these people? I mean, you can bring people with the capital, but let Barbadians do the work.
Yeah, but you're creating an environment to where, as much as possible, they create opportunities for Barbadians to work with them as well and to transfer knowledge and all of that.
Right.
But I do agree with the concern that you still have to have a dialogue with the people. That's the main point I think the Trinidadian lady was making earlier. That you definitely have to have that kind of dialogue where it cannot be assumed that because the Prime Minister is saying it repeatedly, that just talking about it is going to convince people that it is necessary. People want to know how is it actually going to work to the advantage of the people in Barbados. What are the pros and what are the cons? You know, there will always be an upside and there will always be a downside to how we are going about it.
One of the things I would recommend, though, is that, say, for example, if we are bringing Chinese here where we can tap into their skills, we should also send people to China at the same time to tap into the skills out there. It works like an exchange program so that when those people come back to Barbados, they will also bring skills with them as well. And I think the country could benefit. But the thing about Ms. Marley's statement, 80,000 is a real lot. And Sandra, the way she said it, it sounds as though she's bringing it all tomorrow.
Well, I think that she has, she really has a responsibility to talk to the country about this in a more detailed way. Because first of all, you know, people would want to know. So the same point question you raised. What exactly are the areas where we are deficient? Where do you believe we could do with more of these people? Now, you're going to have, whichever country you go to, and you talk about bringing people from time immemorial, people have been protesting about the fact that they take away jobs. Foreigners come and take away jobs.
Even in big countries.
They don't eat the same food. They don't do this. They don't do that. They're changing our culture. All of that is spoken of. So you can't expect that Barbadians are going to be different in that regard.
Right.
We're pushing, though, ultimately for a better appreciation of what are the areas that can benefit from this. We talk about agriculture. We've seen some forward movement in agriculture over COVID. Yes. But how much more could we do? Do we need more skills in that area?
I didn't see a lot of technology in that period, though. I see people setting up and doing normal, growing things the normal way. But the big world is using, first world is using technology to improve the way they produce products. Because some people don't, like in China, you don't have land space, but yet still you can grow vegetables. We to my mind, haven't reached that stage yet. And that is
Are you sure? It may not be on as large a scale as you would want it.
Okay, well,
but there is work that is being done in that regard, huh?
Okay, well, I don't see the average householder trying it. That's what I mean.
Well, the average householder, you know, it takes money to set these things up, and you know, you can't just put anything on your property because you know there's a special skill. But there are farmers that have gone in that direction in the country and are seeing results.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ms. Ellis.
Thanks for calling.